I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Zach Gelb shows CBS Sports Radio. Finals from over the weekend. Bengals beat the Ravens. The Ravens 24-17. Giants 31. Vikings 24. Bills Dolphins closer than what we thought. Buffalo survives by 3 points, 34-31. Chargers collapse after having a 27-0 lead. Jaguars end up winning 31-30. Niners, after having a close little battle with the Seahawks, end up pulling away big 41-23. And the winner of the Cowboys-Buccaneers game tonight will be in Santa Clara next week, going up against the 49ers. Now joining us, legendary Giants running back, former CBS Sports Radio host, now kicking ass down the hall over at The Fan, is our colleague in Tiki Barber. Tiki, how you been?
I'm good, Zach. How are you, dude?
I'm doing fantastic. If you were on the Giants yesterday, how many yards would you have put up? What would your stat line look like up against that dreadful Vikings defense?
Well, I never had a quarterback that could take away my carries and be very productive at doing it. So I probably would have had about the same as Saquon, whose 9 touches and however many yards he had, 58, were important because of the 2 touchdowns. But also, he was just physical. He ran hard, Saquon did. Busting through a couple of tackles to get first downs, and you had to be happy with what he did, but most importantly, you had to be thrilled with how Daniel Jones rose to the occasion on the most important stage of his career to this point.
How do you describe the Daniel Jones story? Because when you get basically told you're not good enough in New York and you have to overcome adversity, most people aren't able to overcome this adversity. And Daniel Jones, not only playing well, he's thriving right now.
Well, he's thriving because he's got the right coaching. I mean, coaching matters so much. We say it often, but we kind of discount it. We don't think about what it really means. But it happens anywhere, whether it's a high school football team or like my daughter on a cheer squad down at CJA and Kenilworth. Coaching matters, and Daniel Jones has finally found the most consistent coaching to make him the best player that he can be. It's not trying to fit him into a system. It's doing the things that he does best, that he's most confident and comfortable in, and you're seeing it start to transform this offense. I mean, I know the Vikings defense has been terrible all season, and it was terrible on Sunday, but Daniel Jones still had to execute. He still had to make the right decisions. He still had to be smart with the football, which he's been all season long, and the evolution of his game has earned him a ton of money come free agency, which is just around the corner as soon as the postseason is over for him.
We all know that Brian Daboll was a hot name in the coaching circles, but just because you're a hot name as a coordinator, how many times do we see guys fail as head coaches? What is it specifically that you see from your player's view about Brian Daboll that makes him such a good coach?
Well, there's a couple of things. Primarily, it's all about the relationship with him. He knows how to push his team's buttons exactly, not just as a whole unit, but individually. And in a lot of ways, he reminds me of how Bruce Arians was as an offensive assistant. This is back when he was mentoring, Peyton Mannings and the Carson Palmers and Andrew Luck. Like when he gets you in his grasp, he wants to know everything about you so he knows what makes you tick. He sits down and he's honest with you. And we saw this early in the season against the Tennessee Titans when he threw a bad interception trying to get a ball into Saquon Barkley. And Daboll screamed at him on the sideline, which is something you never see happen to starting quarterbacks in the NFL, essentially saying, make better decisions. And since from that point on, he's done nothing but make great decisions. So he holds his guys accountable because they know it's not personal. It's a trust in him. He's had a lot of experience. It feels like he's been around forever. He's only 47 years old, but, you know, from an assistant coach at Michigan State and then the Patriots and then the Jets and the Browns and the Dolphins, then he goes to back to New England, then he's at Alabama for a season. He's been around a lot of different really good head coaches, and I think it's crafted this person who knows how to relate to all these different situations. I think some of the problems with, I won't say young because they're not all young, but a lot of these new head coaches are very young. They're 35, 36, 37 years old. They just don't have the depth of experience to know how to coach everybody as opposed to just a position or a unit that they've been used to standing in front of.
Tiki Barber here with us. Have you ever seen anything like this Isaiah Hodgins story? Because it is unbelievable.
No, it's my favorite one of the season so far for the Giants. Maybe my favorite one of the NFL. I mean, he was I don't say he's a cast off, but he was kind of a nobody. He was somebody that most people wouldn't have recognized before the season started. And the only reason that he's on the New York Giants is because of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, who drafted him. I think he was out of Oregon State. And here he comes in. He's only played 6 games. He's leading the team in touchdowns with 5, including the one in the playoffs on Sunday. And he's truly become one of the best route runners in the NFL. And I'm biased because I'm a Giants fan and I watch him daily, so I see it. But, I mean, he abused Patrick Peterson yesterday. He abused Patrick Peterson, you know, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago when they played him in the regular season, a game that they just lost. And Patrick Peterson could be a Hall of Famer or should be a Hall of Famer. So I think his evolution is something that's a testament to him, clearly, but more importantly to the eye of Joe Shane and the scouting department and how they've constructed this roster. Because we can sit here and look at it on paper and just say, you know, they're not that good compared to the Eagles or compared to the Bills or whoever's still left. There's only 8 teams left, but whoever's left, yeah, the Giants are probably coming, you know, near the bottom of those 8 teams. But they've gotten better every single week, and to the point where now they're playing with a ton of confidence, and in the postseason, anything can happen.
You got a franchise quarterback now in Daniel Jones. You have someone in Saquon Barkley who we know it's always about just staying healthy, but also it helps the defensive side of the ball when you have a game wrecker like Dexter Lawrence, who I feel like still doesn't get enough praise nationally.
No, he definitely doesn't. I mean, he got a second team All-Pro selection, which is fantastic. I mean, you're the top 3 or 4 defensive linemen in all of the National Football League, so he's got his credit where it's most important, those who are watching from on a national scale. But as much as I love his game and how he's evolved, because I forget, you know, locally, a lot of people thought he was never going to fulfill the expectation of his draft position coming out of Clemson. And yet here he is as this monster, 6'4", 340, whatever the heck he is, just dominating. But so much of his success is scheme related. And again, this goes back to the first thing we talked about is coaching. Wink Martindale knows how to get him in one-on-one matchups. And If Dexter Lawrence is on a one-on-one matchup with a guard or a center, he's going to destroy that player because he's so much physically stronger and he's got a motor that you can't deny him. And so Wink has done a great job with scheming him into one-on-one situations with guards and centers who he overmatches.
Your confidence level, Tiki Barber, I know you want the Giants to win, but going into this game Saturday night in Philadelphia, how likely do you think it is that the Giants end up going to the conference championship game?
Well, anything is possible, especially in a division game. You've seen this team twice. There's been a lot of rematches in this postseason, but you've seen this team twice. You know what they're really good at, that is getting after the quarterback. We have 4 guys on this defense, Sweat and Hargrave and Brandon Graham, and most importantly, Hassan Reddick, all have double-digit sacks. I mean, it's ridiculous. They led the league in sacks, so then we know that they can pressure the quarterback. But if you can neutralize that, I think a great way to do it is with a running quarterback. We saw it early in the Minnesota game where Daniel Jones was an option with his legs, which makes it so much harder for a defensive coordinator to call different blitzes or different coverage schemes because the quarterback can kill you picking up 10, 15 yards. My confidence is high only because I know how the Giants play. It's going to be a one possession game. They're going to, as long as they don't make mistakes, which they haven't done in a few weeks now, they can stay in the game and try to steal it at the end. You know, it's funny when I look at some of these other teams and some of the games in the super wild card weekend that the NFL now calls it. And I was looking at the possessions. I mean, the Bills Miami game had 31 possessions between the two teams, right? Anything can happen when you have 31 possessions. the Giants and the Vikings, there were 17 total possessions, and two of those were ends of half. So, I mean, 15 possessions in the entire game that were scoring opportunities. If you make a mistake, then you don't win. The Giants don't make mistakes. If they limit possessions and slow them, pull the game down to a one-possession game against anybody, I think they have a chance to win.
Other reactions from the weekend, Tiki Barber, that Jaguars-Chargers game, Brandon Staley, I didn't think he was on the hot seat really going into Week 18, and the whole Mike Williams things happened. It's like, uh-oh, now he's on the hot seat. I know that was as bad as it could be on Saturday night. I don't think Spanos is going to fire him, though, when he should.
No, I don't think he will, even though it sounds like, and I don't know, I've only heard this, but it sounds like Sean Payton is really lobbying for that job.
Oh, he wants the job. I think he's been lobbying for it for like 3 months.
Yeah, I think you're right. So it's crazy that, you know, Brandon Staley, who had such a good first couple of seasons, now is going to be judged on what was one of his most anemic games of the season. Now, it's crazy to say that because of what the final score is, but if it's not for those four Trevor Lawrence interceptions, a couple of which were not Trevor's fault, but they are what they are, they really didn't do anything offensively, the Chargers. And if you go back to week three when the Jacksonville Jaguars weren't nearly as good as they were when they finished the season, they got destroyed by the Jaguars. 38-10, that week three game was in favor of the Jags. So, I mean, if you were looking at the line, you know, the two-point dog at home that Jacksonville was, it was an easy bet to take. It didn't start that way, but I wasn't surprised that the Jaguars came back because of how dominant they had been over the Chargers earlier in the year.
What do you think is going to happen with the future of Lamar Jackson in Baltimore?
I don't know, man. This is such it's an odd and interesting journey that's been going on. And in one part of my mind, I know it's the right and kind of perfect place for him. Like, he fits the MO of that organization and the city. Like, it's a grinding type offense, and he's so good at that. Greg Roman, as the offensive coordinator, understands perfectly how to utilize someone with a skill set like he has. Obviously, going back to his Colin Kaepernick days when he was OC out with the San Francisco 49ers. But at the same time, they seem very reluctant, that is the Ravens, seem very reluctant to commit to what he wants. I mean, we know in the NFL, you got an MVP quarterback, and he wants whatever he wants. Look at Aaron Rodgers, look at Tom Brady, look at whoever it may be. They tend to get what they want. The Ravens seem to be, I don't know, dragging their feet a little bit, and it could cost them. I just hope if he goes someplace else and he realizes that sometimes the grass isn't greener, because if the situation isn't right, the coach and the system isn't right, I don't know if he's going to have the same success that he's had so far in Baltimore.
If you were him, would you step on the field next year? Now, since this has been two off seasons, they tried to get a deal done and there's been no progress. I know they could franchise tag in the next few years, but would you even step on the field before getting a long-term deal?
Yeah, I think you have to. In today's NFL, it passes you by. Even though he's still really young, but I think it would be unprecedented. It would set in motion a series of conflicts that would not get solved very easily. Because the ball, as much as you hate or love it, the Baltimore Ravens control him via the franchise tag. He'd get a lot of money to do nothing, or actually he wouldn't, because it would toll. They could just keep tolling it over and over and over again if they don't want to lose him. I think what ultimately happens is that they will non-exclusive franchise him. I believe this will happen with Daniel Jones as well before they ultimately get a deal worked out. They'll non-exclusive franchise him. So if anybody wants to sign him, they have to give the Ravens two first-round draft picks, which is kind of what seems like the Ravens are looking for.
Wrap it up with Tiki Barber. Two more before we let the legendary Giants running back run. This Brock Purdy story is like something that is just
awesome.
It's really a movie. I'm just wondering for next year, and I guess we got to know how they finish up this year, but who's starting for them next year? Is it Lance? Is it Brady? Is it Purdy? What would be your
Purdy.
Thought?
It's Purdy. You know, it's interesting because I feel like Trey Lance was drafted a couple of years ago because of what he offered from us, a running position. And Kyle Shanahan is one of these these offensive minds, is trying to revolutionize how offense is played and giving you options with the quarterback, guy who can throw and run. We see it with Josh Allen. We see it with Daniel Jones, to be perfectly honest with you, with the Giants. And Trey Lance is supposed to be that guy, but he's not getting above the X's and O's from a scheme perspective. And so, yeah, he can run, but he hasn't really developed into that confident thrower that you have to be in a Kyle Shanahan system. And so Brock Purdy, who nobody knows about or pays attention to, was exactly that kind of player when he was at was at Iowa State. You know, he's athletic. He's not afraid to run. Ran for a couple hundred yards. I mean, 19 rushing touchdowns in his career at Iowa State. So he knows how to use his legs. But also, he plays with such confidence and awareness. It's just, it's awesome. It's almost like he's the perfect player to be coached. And I'm back to this again. It's always going to come back to this. The perfect player to be coached by Kyle Shanahan. It's no different in that same offense than Christian McCaffrey. Like, you watch Christian McCaffrey over the last 10, now 11 games, including the postseason. Isn't it the perfect offense for Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah.
He's coached perfectly into it. It utilizes his skill set almost immaculately. And so, honestly, I think Brock Purdy is the guy going forward for the San Francisco 49ers. And the best thing for them is that it resets all of the nonsense, right? Jimmy will be gone. Trey Lance, who knows what his deal is. But it resets you with a second-year quarterback on a rookie deal, but you still have a great team around them. Great defense is one of the top in the leagues, and an offense that has skill position players out the wazoo. So I like Brock Purdy. I love his story coming from, you know, the Mr. Irrelevant to undefeated and a starter in the NFL.
Last one for Tiki Barber before we let you run. Who wins tonight? You going Cowboys or Buccaneers?
Man, this is the hardest game in the world to pick because I don't trust Dak. I think the Cowboys' skill, really all around, are probably better, and they should win this game. But Dak has gotten confused a lot. I've gone back over the last couple few weeks and just watched his tape. And some of the throws that he's making rookie mistakes, things that he didn't do when he was a rookie that he's doing now. And it's costing them, and it's putting them in tough situations, and they're games that they should have won and that they've lost. And so I don't trust him. I don't know what's going on with him. You know, maybe, honestly, it's coaching, you know, the converse of what we've been talking about. And Tom Brady is Tom Brady. If I had to put my money on it, I'd say the Cowboys, but something in my gut tells me that the Buccaneers are going to find a way to win this one.
Tiki, always appreciate the time. You be well. Thank you.
Anytime, Zach. Be well, dude.
There you go. Tiki Barber joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Great stuff with the former Giants running back. We'll take a break. We'll come on back next with a little no-huddle offense.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
Out of the five games that we saw this past weekend, I think there were three locks where you said 49ers will absolutely beat the Seahawks. Bills will absolutely beat the Dolphins. Bengals will absolutely beat the Ravens. And in all three of those games, there was a moment where you said, I still think the team that is a lock is going to win, but hold on. Wait a second. Not so fast, my friend. And that was the feel around the 49ers and Seahawks, where at halftime, Seattle, after a 56-yard Jason Myers field goal, did take a lead into the locker room up by one, 17-16. In the third quarter, Brock Purdy had a one-yard touchdown run to make it 23-17 as the Niners took back the lead. Then Elijah Mitchell, he got a touchdown reception from Brock Purdy. And then you got the two-point conversion to George Kittle. And then the game really did get cut wide open as Deebo Samuel, 74 yards to the house from Brock Purdy. And this is courtesy of Greg Papa on the 49ers Radio Network to make it 38-17.
And they fake the toss. They roll Purdy to the left. Purdy going to throw back middle. Wide open Deebo Samuel. Down the sideline. 50. 40. Deebo 30. Deebo 20. Deebo 10. Deebo. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Touchdown, San Francisco. Indeed, they end up slaying the Seahawks 41-23. Brock Purdy, rock out with your Brock out. Purdy awesome, if you ask me. 18 of 30 for 332 yards and four total touchdowns. He's the first rookie QB to total four TDs in a playoff game and the first rookie QB to win a playoff game since Mr. Unlimited Russell Wilson did so in 2012. Christian McCaffrey, 136 total yards, two touchdowns. Deebo Samuel, six catches for 133 yards on that score that you just heard. Geno Smith, salute to him for a wonderful season. 25 of 35, 253 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. Did seem like the entire game did change on that Geno Smith fumble. And then DK Metcalf, 10 catches for 136 yards and two touchdowns as well. Next stop, we go to but it looked like Duval was going to see their team for the last time this year because they were down 27-0 right out of the gate. And we know the Jaguars ended up beating the Chargers 31-30. What a choke job by Brandon Staley and company. We'll play you a few calls here. Christian Kirk's 9-yard touchdown grab and then the 2-point conversion to make it 30-28 in the fourth quarter. Still, Chargers in the lead, and then the Riley Patterson game-winning field goal as time expired. You have Ian Eagle and then also Frank Frangie on the Jaguars Radio Network and Westwood One.
ETN in the backfield to the left of Lawrence. Shotgun, he's got the snap. Lawrence drifts back, throws, end zone, near side, hauled in! Christian Kirk, touchdown, Jacksonville! They are going for two. Lawrence under center. He's got Hasty in the backfield. Lawrence does it himself, and he's in. Spikes it hard. And it's 30-28.
36-yarder from the right hash to win the game. Cook puts it down. Patterson's kick is up. The field goal is good! 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 The Jaguars have won it! The Jaguars have won it! They have come back from 27-0. To win the game and move on. How good is that?
I will say in the moment, Hickey, even though Joey Bosa had the boneheaded penalty when he probably had a right to be frustrated with what should have been a false start, when Peterson lines up to go for two, and I've been around Doug. I covered him in Philly. I know his aggressive nature. I'm like, oh, I don't really like this one. And it was one of those moments where you're like, oh, no, 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 yes. Because if he doesn't get that and they end up losing, yes, everyone said, what a wonderful comeback. But what a boneheaded decision by Doug Peterson to kill all momentum. And it was the complete opposite with the way that it did work out. That was wild.
And we have a quarterback who's 6'6". Yeah, it's pretty easy to say hike and boom, basically a little slam dunk, drop it over nice and easy. It's, yeah.
That was something. What a game on the Jaguars side. Elation. Just unbelievable comeback with how bad it was in the first half. Now they'll go on to Kansas City this weekend to have battle with the Kansas City Chiefs. And on the other side, the Chargers. Brandon Staley should go. He won't go. Dean Spanos will keep him. But you all know Sean Payton wants that job. I would say goodbye to Brandon Staley and welcome Sean to the L.A. Chargers. Trevor Lawrence, 28 of 47, 288 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's the first player in NFL history to throw 4 touchdowns after throwing 4 interceptions right out of the gate. Travis Etienne, what a great story he is coming off the injury. 20 carries for 109 yards. Evan Ingram, 7 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. Christian Kirk, 8 for 78 and a score. Zay Jones, 8 catches for 74 yards and a score. So good job by Trent Baalke getting those guys in, and then Doug Peterson coaching those guys up, because those were not popular offseason moves. And yet Justin Herbert, 25 of 43, 273 yards and a touchdown, really did nothing in the second half. Austin Eckler, 13 carries, 35 yards, did have 2 touchdowns. And the Jags are the first team to win a playoff game with a -5 turnover differential in the game. And Jacksonville's also the first team in NFL history to have the worst record in the NFL and win a playoff game the following season. Next up, we go to Buffalo, where this was 17 to nothing. And then we had ourselves a ball game. Bills hold on to win 34 to 31. Here is Gabe Davis on a 23-yard touchdown snag to make it 34-24 in the third quarter. This is Chris Brown on the Bills Radio Network.
Allen back to pass, surveying the field, fires to the end zone to Davis. Did he get both feet down? Touchdown, Buffalo! A 23-yard missile launch by Allen to Davis.
I have to go back, though, in a three-point game, because that ended up getting up to 34-24. When it gets down to 3, Dolphins just, I know they thought they had a first down, I guess, but then the play call took forever to come on in. They broke the huddle hickey on 4th and 1 with 4 seconds left on the play clock. And then they get pushed back 5 yards, make it 4th and 6. In one breath, it's okay. What an effort by the Dolphins, because they're playing Skylar Thompson at quarterback. But on the other side, it's kind of like what you feel with Mike McDaniel all throughout the year. There's times you go, wow, what a coach. And there's other times you go, what the heck is this guy doing? For that to be molasses and just take forever and move at such a slow play pace with nothing to lose, the game on the line, 4th and 1 to make it 4th and 6. You can't shoot yourselves in the foot when you have that quarterback situation that you had.
And it wasn't like that was the first time where the play call came. Like, there was horrendous. Like legitimately 5 times where I thought they should have been a delay game. The refs like gave them like 3 seconds after the play clock at 0. I don't know what's going on, but inexcusable.
I don't know if I ever felt this way more in a game where I go, wow, what an effort by the coach. And then also this coach, talking about the same coach, is like the biggest moron on the planet with how long it took him to get some of those plays in. Josh Allen, 23 of 39, 352 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Got to watch out with those turnovers that he had in the game, a fumble as well. Stephon Diggs, 7 catches for 114 yards. Gabe Davis, you heard the touchdown, had 6 catches for 113 yards. And Skylar Thompson, 18 of 45, 220 yards, a touchdown and 2 picks. My brother-in-law, who was watching the game with, he goes, oh, yeah, Skylar Thompson's not looking that bad. And then you saw the stat line, and it was like, oh, never mind. He took that comment back. Josh Allen now 4-0 at home in the playoffs. Next up, the New York Football Giants continue to be one of the better stories in the NFL. They beat the Vikings, who are a fraudulent team, 31-24. Saquon Barkley had a 2-yard touchdown run. This made it 31-24 in the fourth quarter. And you also hear the fourth down stop to win the game, as Kirk Cousins was way short of the sticks throwing the football. Here is Bob Papa on the Giants Radio Network.
Jones takes the snap, handoff Barkley, hit. And dives ahead, and is touchdown. He in for the touchdown? Yes, touchdown Saquon Barkley. And the Giants have the lead with 7:47 to go in the ball game. Cousins calls out signals, takes the snap. He's back to throw. He's under pressure, got hit as he throws, completes it to his right, but he's short of the first down as Hockenson. He's wrapped up. What a play by the Giants.
That Vikings defense was awful. Not taking anything away from Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. They were wonderful. But that Vikings defense, as we've been talking about for the last few weeks, is really, really bad. And Za'Darius Smith did nothing in the game. Patrick Peterson did nothing as well. And when arguably your 2 best defensive players are no-shows, I don't care what your offense does, you're not going to really go win a football game. And Kirk Cousins was fine in the game. That offense was fine. The Giants did a nice job in Jefferson in the second half, as it looked like he could do whatever he wanted in the first half. But really, what that game to me just showed you, how much coaching does matter and how much defenses matter as well. Because even though the Giants defense wasn't great, they found a way to get the timely stop. And you also look at just a boneheaded play by the Vikings, 4th and 1, Christian Darrisaw jumps. You have to settle for a field goal. They line up to go for it. The next drive, Giants have the ball, 4th and 1. They go for it and eventually do get a touchdown. So that's pretty much the difference to me in the game, was the defense and those 4th and 1 scenarios. Daniel Jones, 24-35, 301 yards, 2 touchdowns, 17 carries for 78 yards. Jones is the first QB in postseason history. How about that? With 300-plus passing yards, 2-plus passing TDs, and 70-plus rushing yards in a game. Saquon Barkley, 109 yards of total offense and 2 touchdowns. Isaiah Hodgins, the Giants acquired off waivers this year, not that long ago. 8 catches for 105 yards and a score. Kirk Cousins, 31-39, 273 yards and 2 touchdowns. TJ Hockenson, up until the last play, was a force to be reckoned with. 10 catches for 129 yards. And finally, another game, a lot closer than what people thought. It looked like the Ravens were really going to make the Bengals start to shake. And Sam Hubbard was able to recover a fumble and take it 98 yards to the house as the Ravens were knocking on the door of taking the lead. And then we'll play you this final Hail Mary attempt by the Ravens as they almost, off the bounce, are able to reel it in. And they probably would have went for 2 to try to go win the game, but they didn't catch the football. Let's listen up to the sounds of Dan Horde and really the sounds of Dave Lapham on the Bengals radio network.
3rd down and goal from the 1. Huntley sticks the ball out. The Bengals have the ball. Baby. They are running it back. Sam Hubbard with blockers behind him. Hubbard to the Ravens 40.
Nice.
The 30.
Nice.
The 20.
Yeah.
The 10. The
Woo.
5. Touchdown.
How about it?
Bengals.
Woo.
Tyler Huntley tried to extend the ball over the goal line. It got poked away. Sam Hubbard scooped it up and ran the length of the field for a go-ahead Bengals touchdown. 8 seconds to go. The Bengals up by 7. Shotgun snap. Huntley back to throw. Hendrickson rushing. He floats it toward the end zone.
Knock it down.
Into a crowd. Batted down. Incomplete.
Yeah.
The clock hits 0.
Over.
And the Bengals are heading to Buffalo.
Dave Lapham is really America's football grandfather. Like, that's the way that I just equate him to. He's everyone's grandfather and watching a football game, just screaming at the television, yeah, 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 woo-hoo, go touchdown, knock it down, knock it down. That was awesome stuff. Joe Burrow, 23-32, 209 yards, 2 total touchdowns. Jamar Chase, 9 catches for 84 yards and a touchdown. Tyler Huntley, 17-29, 226 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Mark Andrews, 5 catches for 73 yards. Sam Hubbard's 98-yard fumble return for a touchdown is the longest fumble return in playoff history. And the Ravens are the second team in 15 years to lose a playoff game in which they ran for 150-plus yards and allowed fewer than 250 total yards. The 2020 Ravens versus the Bills was the other time. And that is your wild card round edition of No Huddle Offense. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, did you have any bad gambling beats over the weekend? Because we had a lot of losses, obviously, from our picks over the weekend. But I had an anytime touchdown, three-player parlay. And it was in the first game, Gabe Davis to get a touchdown. Didn't look good. Then he got one. Then I also had Jamar Chase, anytime touchdown. That happened. In between, though, my parlay did bust. Dalvin Cook, anytime touchdown. When they have the ball at the 1-yard line after Justin Jefferson makes that catch, ruled a touchdown, then reverse, I'm thinking this is the easiest one of the three. And then you have Kirk Cousins, of all people, on the QB sneak. So that was my worst gambling beat of the weekend. Now, I did hit. I had Christian McCaffrey and Evan Ingram anytime touchdown. I thought the Ingram one was pretty damn good. So that won me like $100 over the weekend, but a lot more L's than victories. So you walk out with a negative. We'll see if we can make some of that money back tonight on this Buccaneers-Cowboys game that is having kickoff coming up in the next hour as we start to conclude Wild Card Weekend. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, a man that has called us all throughout the year to tell us that we are Vikings haters and we're a bunch of idiots, morons, and dopes when talking about his football team, the great Scott in California, is here to take his lumps after what was a devastating performance from his football team. We'll get to Scott on the other side.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, he's Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. This NFL postseason, which will no longer include the Minnesota Vikings. Every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. All on the road to Super Bowl 57, where once again the Minnesota Vikings won't be. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. And it's all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. So for the last 2 months, Scott in California would always call us up. And Scott in California would always say, I don't get why the Vikings aren't getting more respect around the NFL. And I would tell him, well, when you get blown out by the Eagles, you get blown out by the Cowboys, you get blown out by the Packers, Detroit beats you up pretty good the second time around. It's not as if that's a team that you look at them and think they're going to go to a Super Bowl. I never said the Vikings were a bad team. I actually don't mind the Minnesota Vikings. I love Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, KJ Osborne, Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison. You know, defensively, I know Za'Darius Smith and Patrick Peterson didn't play well yesterday, but those are two really fun players in the NFL. We know, Patrick Peterson's going to be going to the Hall of Fame one day. But you watch that Vikings team throughout the year, and even an NFC that isn't as great, you see there's a big difference between the San Francisco 49ers and Philadelphia Eagles against a team like Minnesota. And could Minnesota, I even thought they could win a playoff game. Did I think they were going to win multiple playoff games? No. And yesterday, even when I thought Minnesota was going to win, because remember, I'm a Minnesota Vikings hater, according to Scott in California, they ended up losing. So I give Scott in California credit, because a few weeks ago he said, we're all haters of the Vikings and we're going to be used as bulletin board material for the Minnesota Vikings team. And usually the way that this goes, like that one Packer fan who called me a few weeks ago was like, oh, you're going to be wrong about the Packers. They're going to make the playoffs. Crickets ever since. We don't hear from him. At least Scott in California, who's had a lot of energy about the Vikings all throughout the year, he still has that same energy right now, where at least he's going to call in maybe the lowest moment of his Vikings fandom. Not ever. There's a lot of low moments. But just for this year, after thinking his team was going to be a really, really great football team this year. Scott, I give you credit for calling. What's happening?
Is that me, Zach? Are you there?
Yes, I am here, Scott. Hey, go ahead.
Hey, I heard that undressing you gave me earlier, but I wasn't in a good spot to call in. I was smiling from ear to ear. I didn't know I made that much of an impact. I hope I wasn't so much of a pain.
And we were having fun, Scott. But I wanted to hear from you today because you've called me for the last 2 months telling me your team was great.
I'd be getting, like, commercially banned here, and so we want to avoid that. But this is the way. By the way, I'm gonna just, if you give me a second. Beginning of the year, I thought if we can beat the Packers at home, it's going to set the tenure. You know, and then, of course, we lost to Philly the next week. You just pointed out that, you know, all the games we lost and nothing about the 33-0 game we came back from, or all these other cool games that we won. And I realize going 11-0 and one score games, you can look at it both ways. You know, why are you like that? You know, and I realize our defense, and as a true Viking fan, we know what we are. It's just your Denny Green reference. I thought we could beat the Giants, but I knew we would not beat Frisco next year. I mean, we're not impractical, but we're excited. So it's okay to be excited when you have a new head coach, a new GM, Queasy, and you get in there and you start winning some games with a quarterback that I've never been, you know, overly impressed with. But I'm going to take my lumps here. I gave Ethan some crap. And
well, Scott, I just got to know one thing. How did you process the game yesterday? Because when they get a touchdown right out of the gate, you're probably feeling awesome. Then it seemed like the Giants just had control of that game, even though it wasn't really reflected on the scoreboard. They were in the lead, but it wasn't by like this wide margin. And that 4th-and-1 penalty really did kill you guys.
Yes. But as a Viking fan, I'm going to be honest with you today. We look at that, and we could be 24-0 and with 3 minutes left in the third quarter, and we're still not comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot for us. I mean, because we've seen it too much. But the defense is suspect. Harrison Smith, you haven't mentioned him. He's been patrolling that free safety spot for years, and I think he's lost a step. Eric Kendricks, I like him a lot, but he's been back there a while. So the defense, you know, a lot needs to happen there, and I agree with that. But with going a new coach first year and going 13-4, no matter how they did it. So it's like if you have a little brother. So I'm the big brother, and your little brother is the Minnesota Vikings, and you hear that he's getting bullied, you know, walking home from school. You're going to go and jump on CBS Sports Radio and say, hey, don't do that. Well, I got to say real quick.
Yeah.
The two terms I didn't like is I was pushing the record. You know, I was always saying, why are you guys doing this when the record is this? And I understand. Yeah. But the other one, and you just did it before your break, you said the word fraudulent again. And
they were fraudulent.
But the term fraudulent, the word fraudulent, kind of insinuates like some type of sinister or criminal activity.
Scott, that record was fraudulent. You looked at that record and you said a team that should have 13 wins you would think would be a Super Bowl contender, a team that you'd feel good about making the Super Bowl, and you never really truly felt good about the Vikings being in the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, I had no aspirations of truly getting there, you know.
I don't know, Scott. Your phone calls, we have the receipts. They sound a little bit differently.
No, I never said we were going to win at all. We're just going to win 1 week at a time, and we were doing that. You know, you can't discount that.
Well, you have great passion, games. Scott. Scott, you have great passion. Yeah, here's the bottom line. You have great passion. You wanted to believe in your team. You wanted to talk up your team. When people are punching at your team, you're going to fight back. I get it. But we did have a lot of fun with you throughout this season. Okay. So don't be a stranger, okay?
Am I off the ban list?
Oh, yeah. No, you called today, so you don't get banned. But if you were going to be like a cockroach today and not call after calling me for two straight months, telling me how great your team was, that would have been fraudulent.
Hey, when you called me out, I was laughing my butt off, man. It was so cool.
You got it.
I enjoy your show. I enjoy your content, and I enjoy your energy. So I'll be calling in later, okay?
You got it. Thanks so much, Scott. Good stuff. How about that? You know, we were enemies, and now we're friends singing Kumbaya together. Scott in California. Hickey, you could attest. The Scott that we heard today was not as zany as the Scott that we heard all throughout the season. And Scott had major super vibes, Super Bowl vibes with this team. And today, I never thought they were actually going to the Super Bowl or anything like that. That was good stuff.
I give him a lot of credit for calling in, but yeah, he was not, let's say, he made it seem like he was saying, I just want to win one playoff game and we'll go from there.
But his analogy is right, because anytime I would really press him throughout the year, you think you can beat this team? On any given side, it was never an answer that I walked away saying, he's truly believing what he's saying. But if someone is, you know, beating up on your little brother, even if you think your little brother is in the wrong, you're going to fight back and be protective. And that's what Scott was doing. So I give him credit, because there's a lot of other people that they call this show and they say, why do you hate my team? You're so negative about my team. And then when their team falls flat on their face, you never hear from them. They go on the witness protection program, not Scott in California. He calls in no matter what the circumstance is. And I said this when we started the show 4 years ago. I'm going to tell you when I'm right, and then I'm going to be wrong. And when I'm wrong, I'll be the first person to say that I'm wrong. But that has to be shown the other way as well. And Scott in California, he'll tell you when he's right. I'm sure he would have been the first one on the line today if his team would have won. But then when he's wrong, you give him credit that he still listens, he calls, he interacts with the show, and he takes his medicine, takes the lumps with the good, and then also clearly what for the Vikings was yesterday, a lot of bad. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Solomon Wilcox will join us next. I see Jay in Alaska's on the line. That's another guy. A little delusional at times when it comes to his football team. When he's right, he calls. When he's wrong, he also calls. We'll see what Jay is wanting to talk about later on in the show, as we'll get that coming up in hour number three. But when we return in 5 minutes, one of my favorites, Solomon Wilcox, joins us.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.